Today is the third Sunday after Easter, and here are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. We will not have benediction this evening. Next Sunday, the Mass will be at the usual time of 8 a.m., but in 2 weeks, May 6th, that is First Holy Communion Sunday, and the Mass is going to be at 9 a.m. So that's not next Sunday, but in 2 weeks it's going to be at 9 a.m. to give the children their First Holy Communion. We'd like to thank all of those of you who help clean the chapel and the hall and who iron the altar linens, and also who do other projects here throughout the year. They're too numerous to mention, but those of you who do these things for us, I know you would not want to be recognized because you want to keep it to yourselves between you and God, so we are grateful for that help. And then we also want to say, personally, I'd like to just thank all of you, because as you recall, a few months ago I was emphasizing to have a great and beautiful turnout for Father's solemn Mass for his 45th anniversary and for the banquet. Father himself and all of us were just overwhelmed by your generosity and by your good wishes. So thank you. And one note, Father's sister, right now she's assisting at Mass in the oratory. Sometimes there are Masses there simultaneously going on. So she's assisting at Mass in the oratory right now in our residence. And I'm glad, because I just want to tell you that she was the one that did most of the work organizing the banquet and everything surrounding that. So I just wanted to tell you that. Shows how much she loves her brother. Now this week we have feast days. Today this feast of Saints Soter and Caius. Tomorrow Saint George. Tuesday Saint Fidelis of Sigmaringen. Wednesday Saint Mark. Thursday Saints Cletus and Marcellinus. Friday, St. Peter Canisius, and Saturday, St. Paul of the Cross. Holy Mother, the Church has put martyrs, many martyrs, in the calendar following Easter, in the weeks following Easter. And it is not without planning and divine providence, because these beautiful and holy people were people just like us, but they had a greater desire to be holy and to get to heaven. Some of them just died for their faith. They wouldn't compromise, and so they gave up their lives for Christ. Especially Saint Mark. He was not an apostle, he was a disciple, but it's a second-class feast, and if you can assist at Mass on that day. And it's a special day because that was Father Violette's name day. And on that day, we will be using a red vestment that is a memorial vestment for him. And it's one has the Holy Ghost on the back of the vestment. So that would be a very fitting day to assist at Mass if you can this this week. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Peter's first epistle. Beloved, I exhort you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from carnal desires which war against the soul. Behave yourselves honorably among the pagans, that whereas they slander you as evildoers, they may, through observing you by reason of your good works, glorify God in the day of visitation. Be subject, therefore, to every human creature for God's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as sent through him for vengeance on evildoers and for the praise of the good. For such is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Live as free men, yet not using your freedom as a cloak for malice, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters in all fear, not only to the good and moderate, but also to the severe. This indeed is a grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 16, verses 16 to 22. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, A little while, and you shall see me no longer, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Some of his disciples therefore said to one another, What is this he says to us? A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, and I go to the Father. They kept saying, therefore, What is this little while of which he speaks? We do not know what he is saying. But Jesus knew that they wished to ask him, and he said to them, You inquire about this among yourselves, because I said, A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me. Amen, amen, I say to you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman about to give birth has sorrow because her hour has come, but when she has brought forth a child, she no longer remembers the anguish for her joy that a man is born into the world. And you therefore have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one shall take from you. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Here is the collect for today's Mass. O God, to those who go astray, you display the light of your truth, that they may return into the way of righteousness. Grant to all those who profess themselves Christians both to avoid the things which are contrary to that name and to follow those which are agreeable thereto. So that beautiful prayer of Holy Mother the Church sets the scene and the theme for this entire Mass, because one of the rare times we have St. Peter chosen one of his writings, one of his letters, is the epistle for the Mass. And any of you who have the ability to notice details and style, you can tell immediately how different he writes compared to St. Paul. It's very direct and not as sometimes as cryptic as St. Paul is. But he says, St. Peter, very directly to think of ourselves in this world as strangers, as pilgrims. And that's literally true. When you have to go in the world and work or wherever you go shopping, whatever you have to do, if you don't feel like a stranger and a pilgrim and not comfortable being out there, that's a good thing. If you feel comfortable here and at peace and that this is your home, that is a good thing. Because the world, the devil, and even our own flesh, which is subject to sin, tries to pull us away from God and from the Mass and the sacraments and from this chapel. We've said it before, and I can think of two people just in the last 6 months that you know very well, most of you, and they stopped coming to Mass. It was frightening to see them walk away from all these beautiful gifts of God. Then St. Peter tells us not to slander, be guilty of slander, and to be good examples. I remember my mother often would say, be a good example. I was so young, I really didn't understand what she meant, but when I was a few years older in grade school, it meant that people watch you, and if you do something good, often they copy you, they imitate you. If you do something bad, the same thing happens. And unfortunately, people who do bad things drag down the good far more than the good raising the evil. But he says that those, the evildoers, may through observing you by reason of your good works glorify God in the day of visitation. So the people that don't have the faith, who even blaspheme God, they can be saved by seeing your good works. And then our Lord, in this sort of unusual gospel, when he is with the disciples, because this phrase, the little while, is repeated several times, because our Lord said, in a little while, I'm going to leave you. So he was telling, this is before his passion and death. He's telling the apostles, I'm going to leave you. But a little while later, you'll be joined to me. Those words are for us also, because this life is short. It's a little while compared to eternity. It is so short. And as we get older, the days, weeks, months, and years pass more quickly. We can't waste time on worldly things. Things that are taking us on a detour into the pit of the evil of the world. There are so many distractions that take us away from thinking about God. There are bad friends, bad associations, movies, our phones, video games, all sorts of terrible things. And the thing is, what's so deceptive about it is all those things I mentioned. You can have good friends and good associations, and good movies and videos and good reasons to use your phone. But see, that's what where the devil comes in. He takes something that can be helpful and even good, and we think, well, it's not so bad. I'm using it for a good thing, and then if we're not careful, and if we're not watchful, and if we don't pray, those things can lead to our destruction. We all know that. But what is so comforting is our Lord encourages the apostles and through them encourages us that He is with us. And it's just a little while longer if we just remain faithful. Keep close to our Lord and to the things of God. Do you know that many centuries ago, from Easter Sunday all the way to the Feast of Pentecost, it was like one huge feast? Now, as I've told you before, the octave of Easter, the 8 days after Easter, were all holy days of obligation. So all the faithful had to go to Mass every day. Don't you wish that that were the case today, that the fervor was there, that you could come to Mass every day? Does that sound remarkable or burdensome or, oh, I could never do that? If you actually did that, and hear sermons every day, it'd be like a beautiful retreat. But the fervor of Catholics and true Christians was so great in the Middle Ages that they were very rigorous and careful about all the practices that they would perform during Lent and the fasting and prayers. So much so that Holy Mother, the Church, said, because you've done all your Lenten obligations, now that Easter is here, it was forbidden to kneel for all of these days, Easter and the 50 days following, because that was a penitential act and it was considered, see, there were no pews in the churches, so everyone would stand. So they would stand the entire Mass because Holy Mother, the Church, wanted them, they thought that since everyone has been so fervent in penitential Lent, now they can be rejoicing even by what they do bodily in church. Now, we don't have those practices now, but those same sentiments should be in your souls, in your hearts. You want to be as perfect as possible in your lives and be good examples. And step up. Meaning, if this is how I was praying and doing my spiritual reading a few weeks ago or during Lent, I'm going to go the extra mile. I'm going to do more. Because I have extra time now. And you know, people say that, I don't have time to do these things. I'm so busy. And if you think, look at one day and how much time you may have spent on worldly things or waste of time or even evil things, and how much merit you would have gained if you just spent that on good and spiritual things. And you know what the beautiful secret is? That instead of being guilty or depressed after possessing and striving for worldly things, which is always the case, you would have greater joy in your heart after taking those 20, 30 minutes or an hour praying and reflecting and reading about spiritual things. and God bless you.